personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Welcome back to the Unsportsmanlike Conduct podcast. I almost jumped the word conduct for the 150th time in a row, Dal, but I managed to not do it this time.
Maybe someday you'll get it down. That's how it works.
Yeah. Just not nearly professional enough for this. But anyhow, week one of the NFL season is in the books, Dal, which is something of my personal Christmas, but we talked about that before. That first Sunday, like, yeah, Thursday is nice. You're like, oh, it's the first NFL game. But no. The first Sunday when I come home from church, I sit down, and I just turn on Red Zone, and I just envelop myself in a wall of football for an entire calendar day.
Well, for whatever reason, you don't even feel bad about it. At least I don't.
No.
like, I watched three games, which is, you know, anywhere 9 hours or whatever, and then I went home, and then it was like, you know what, I don't even feel bad. Like, there's times like where you waste a whole Sunday and you feel like, man, I should have done something, or a Saturday. Yeah, that one, that first opening weekend's like, I've done good things today. I've watched three full games. I've managed two fantasy leagues. I've done good things.
See, I only get that feeling outside of football season, when I always think, oh man, Sunday flew by. Oh dang it, I didn't do anything. I didn't take advantage of my weekend. I got whatever tomorrow. Oh, this sucks. Then football season rolls around, and I waste my whole Sunday. I just sit there. I say sit. I'm usually standing and pacing around the room because...
That's how you stay so slim.
I can't sit and watch a game I actually care about in any way because, like, I watch the Bears play, and my legs just get all jittery. They're like, no, Aaron, you don't understand. If the Bears lose this game, you die. That's how it works.
Well, speaking of your Bears, they had themselves quite a fun time.
Oh, yes. The weather that the McCaskies are trying to take away from us.
Yeah.
With their stupid dome.
It's probably the only reason they won.
Yeah. Bear weather saved us, baby.
We can't have that. We better get rid of that.
But yeah, so week one, it came. Let's talk a little bit about week one. We'll go a little game by game here. There's not a lot in the way of other sporting news apart from I'll start with it. I appear to be the official WNBA spokesperson of this podcast.
And that you're seems to be welcome to have it.
The Las Vegas Aces are up on the Connecticut Sun 2-0, which I normally wouldn't care about because those are two teams I'm indifferent toward. But Connecticut really upset me when they beat Chicago and played the entire series like the 80s Detroit Pistons. Nothing was actually about shooting or playing better. It was, uh-oh, one of Chicago's superstars is getting hot. Quickly, foul her as hard as you can so she has to leave the game.
Well, I'll just remind people that there was a video game called Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball. that was a real video game that I played, and it really didn't have that much to do with basketball. So, there you go. It was like that. It's funny, I had one of the women that works in the office here, because I'm the quote-unquote sports guy, come up to me yesterday and ask, so I was in a restaurant and we were eating somewhere and there was a women's basketball game on and it said LVA. What is that? And I said, well, I'm no expert, but I'm assuming that's the Las Vegas Aces. She goes, oh.
You're correct.
Okay.
Yes. I have a buddy who lives down in Colorado who's a big Las Vegas Aces fan. So he's super excited. My Sky won last year, so I guess his Aces can take it this year. But yeah, we'll go ahead and then, now that that's out of the way, baseball's still regular season. They're chugging along. Hockey and basketball around the corner, nothing really happening there. So I think this podcast is going to be pretty week one NFL heavy. You also appear to have a dead fly clinging to the brim of your hat there, if you want to just... flick that away. Yep. There he goes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can't see I've ever had that before.
I thought it was alive this whole time, and I'm like, you know what? It hasn't moved in a while. I think that thing died.
It's not even a full fly. It was like just part of one.
Oh, it was full when you wiped it, but there's a wing still stuck. Great. And yeah.
Still?
Yeah. There it goes.
That's gross, man. Yeah, quickly recapping last week, because there's no reason to go over too much, I don't think. Any shockers to you that stood out?
Any shockers?
Well, other than the Bears.
No, let's talk about let's talk about what was supposed to be Russell Wilson's big comeback tour, which instead turned into, uh-oh, Denver, did you accidentally spend all that money and draft capital just to come in fourth place in the AFC West?
Well, Coach Hackett taking a ton of grief.
And he should.
For attempting a 64-yard field goal instead of, I mean, that was sort of the go-to Twitter reaction. Was,
it wasn't even just that he attempted
it. You're paying $250 million to let the kicker go out and kick.
The problem was how he managed that entire game. First of all, I know you have Russell Wilson, but three times they had a goal-to-go situation, and they came out in a three-wide receiver set out of the gun. And it wasn't even like that was to put the ball in the hands of Russell Wilson. They ran it every time. Two times, it cost them points because they fumbled the football.
Well, probably the most savage Twitter response I saw was from Richard Sherman, which you go back to his meme of he couldn't believe it face when the Seahawks lost that second Super Bowl to the Patriots.
Yeah.
And he just tweeted simply said, yeah, goal lines can be tricky.
I mean, insane. And then the way he managed the final minute to run the clock down to basically run that drive like you were in an 8-minute drill.
They burned 35 seconds to call a timeout.
Have you seen the clip of
Peyton Manning?
Peyton Manning, yeah.
And in fact, I would argue that's why they're getting so much grief is because Peyton Manning is just sitting there doing the timeout signal to himself with his right hand into the palm of his left hand going, timeout, 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 timeout. In fact, someone counted them and said, Peyton Manning just called timeout for Denver 62 times.
And here's the other one. So Brandon McManus, a part of me thought, well, I mean, he can kick a 64-yarder.
He almost made it.
In theory. And then I saw, first of all, Brandon McManus, barely over 50% in his career, in lead-changing field goal attempts in the final 2 minutes. That's unimpressive. Secondly, so while he has the leg to kick from 64 yards, did you know his last 8 consecutive attempts from 59 or longer have all been misses?
That one was pretty dang close.
It was close. I'm sure several of them were close, though.
It's interesting because had that gone in, there really wouldn't be much of a discussion this week.
Apart from the fact that, I mean, Seattle still had 3 timeouts in the modern NFL to get into field goal range.
Yeah, but Denver had already wasted all the time.
With the greatest quarterback in Seahawks history, Geno Smith, under center. He out-Russell Wilson'd Russell Wilson in that football game.
You know, let's be honest, though. The Seattle defense won that game.
Sure. And Russell Wilson playing like prime 2013, 2014 Russell Wilson certainly helped. He was spinning out of tackles. He was running for first downs. He was throwing across his body to open receivers. It was incredible. This is the Geno Smith that I'm thinking the Jets really thought they drafted in 2014.
The other one that's maybe it shouldn't have surprised me. Maybe it's just because I was on such a hate Cleveland train. Cleveland won that game. I really thought Baker Mayfield would do that. The Texans tying the Colts.
Oh, lovey.
The other fan reaction from this is, as a Washington fan, Carson Wentz has taken a ton of grief this offseason from fans and the Colts owner. And so to see Carson Wentz throw 4 touchdowns and throw 300 yards, and he did have a couple of really questionable interceptions.
It was the most Carson Wentz game I have ever seen. You got to have a couple turnovers and then some really incredibly athletic plays. You get your 300 yards, your touchdowns, you get all of it.
But it was just kind of funny. I saw memes where Carson Wentz is like smiling with the game ball, and then next to it, it just has the score of the Colts and Texans tie at 20. And he's just like, okay.
Lovie Smith electing to punt in overtime with under 30 seconds to go on the 4th and short.
Yeah, and honestly, the other game that really kind of made me go, wow, was the Buccaneers and Cowboys. Can you imagine? I said this to my brothers as we're watching. I'm like, can you imagine? Because everybody's all excited. It's the first game, And then you go through the first two full sessions of NFL games. You're the night game. Let's say you drop a grand, $1,500 going to this game like the Dallas fans have to. You get there. You've been waiting all offseason. You've been waiting all day. You've been tailgating. You're there. And you just get crushed.
Not only do you get crushed, your season's probably over.
Well, I have read some things today that they feel like maybe he's not going to miss the full 6 to 8 weeks, but that's optimistic. But even if he doesn't, I mean, that was basically a snapshot of, well, here's the Buccaneers, and here's you, and you're at home, and you got smoked.
And just so we're aware, that puts Dallas alone by themselves in fourth place in the NFC East.
Yeah, the rest of the NFC East won.
New York Giants.
Even the Giants won.
The New York Saquon Barkley's by himself beat the Tennessee Titans.
So
that was incredible.
Yeah, there was a lot of fun. The Chiefs looked really good. Obviously, we talked about the Bills last week. So Bills and Chiefs, Bucks, they're right up there at the top.
And the Chicago Bears, the worst team in the NFL, is 1-0.
They're not this week. They're not the worst team this week.
We are in the top half of the league, baby. Top, 15, I guess, not 16.
Yeah, that's right.
Two of them tied.
That's right. Is it the AFC South? No one won a game?
Yes. And two of them played each other.
Yeah, and two of them played each other.
Khalil Mack, that did, I won't say sting, because just so we're clear, the players we got, if you dive into it, for the Khalil Mack trade, both started in that game and both were awesome. So, okay, fine. We got two good rookies. We got Jaquan Brisker with the second round pick we got for Mack, who I believe was Pro Football Focus highest graded rookie defensive player in week one. Playing in, Hurricane Katrina off the Lake Michigan. And Braxton Jones was the fifth round pick we got for Khalil Mack. And he started at right tackle for us and didn't allow a sack all game.
Well, good job.
And he was playing the 49ers and Nick Bosa. So that was nice. However, on the flip side, for those of you that would really like to be depressed of the Bears fans listening to this, Khalil Mack did record 3 sacks for the Chargers against the Raiders and a forced fumble, which I believe he recovered himself.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked good. Von Miller with the Bills looked really good, too.
Oh, yeah. Those two, I remember when Mack had his first big year in 2016, Raiders and Broncos fans kept, who's better, Mack or Miller? Mack or Miller? Somehow, no matter how close it feels like one or the other is to falling off any given year, the next year they always bounce back, and this debate is somehow still alive. It's still going.
I sure like Von Miller.
Von Miller is incredible.
I think he might be the piece that helps tip the Bills over the top, but We'll get to that. You ready for picks for this week?
Oh, yeah. So, speaking of picks, though, one last thing from last week. I was so sure that I had first place after week one locked up. I was convinced of it. And I went, oh, dang it. Broncos lost. Oh, well. It's not like anyone would have picked Seattle. Well, how about this? So, now, my wife, myself, and someone whose name is So Sally Can Wait are all tied with 10... So Sally Can Wait was tied with you in the second slot down with 9 points heading into that game. They were the only person that picked the Seattle Seahawks to win, and now they jumped up and tied. It's a 3-way tie.
And now
first.
I'm behind Sally.
Now you're behind, so Sally Can Wait. All of us have 10. You have 9. We have another guy with 9. Four people at 8. One with 7. And 4 with 6.
Okay.
That's the current standing. So we'll go into this week. I gotta make up a game now that I thought was a for sure thing.
You're
so
up on me because of the New England-Miami game. That was the one you and I disagreed on. And
I tried to tell you.
You did?
It was in Miami. New England doesn't win there.
All right.
One last thing, though. The other one that I think I mentioned. Are you aware that after Minnesota beat Green Bay, And I said that Minnesota was the one team in our division that Rodgers occasionally struggles with. Kirk Cousins now has an all-time winning record head-to-head with Aaron Rodgers. He is now 5-4-1 head-to-head with Aaron Rodgers.
Good job.
Noted Bears fan Kirk Cousins, by the way. Is it weird that Bears fans that become players, Robbie Gould, Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle, Kirk Cousins, all seem to be better at beating the Packers than the actual Bears are?
Well, maybe the Bears should have picked some of them.
We need to start picking Bears fans to play for. Well, we took Komet. He's a Bears fan. Yeah. So why is he not helping us beat the Packers? Come on, Cole. We tried. Well, I guess I'm ahead of you by one, so sportsmanship dictates that I should pick first, I guess, to give you the... and Dal hasn't picked his yet.
Nope, I've got my screen open. I'm going to do it as we go.
So you do technically have the chance to change picks just to catch me if you want. But I'm going to go... This one you might not even have to change, because this is quite a coin flip, but I believe the consensus for most people is the Chiefs will win this thing. I am picking the Chargers.
Really?
The Chargers, for whatever reason, seem to play better in Kansas City every year than they do. I'm going to pick the Chiefs when it comes back to L.A., but I'm taking L.A. in Kansas City. I remember there was this thing during the Lovie Smith era where everyone joked in Chicago that the Bears and Packers split every year, but we always win in the other one's home stadium. And it was like a 5 straight years in the early 2000s that happened. This is the new early 2000s Bears-Packers. Chiefs-Chargers have to split in the other one's home stadium.
Well, personally, I think you're overthinking it. Kansas City looked really good. They're at home. This is the home opener for the Chiefs fans, Arrowhead.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be loud.
I'm going Chiefs.
I'm going to go with the Chargers. I think their defense is better. I think Mac and Bosa? You're talking about the Bosa?
Which did nothing.
Are going to be a bit much to handle across this season for a lot of NFL offenses. I'm going to take the Chargers. But by the way, this is the first game.
Cool, I've already caught you.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Now I'm taking another point off of you there. This is the first game, though, of the very stupid Amazon Prime exclusive Thursday Night Football era.
See, I guess I'm an old fart. You're what's called a millennial, right? Or you
just barely.
Or even I am Generation X, which means we take all the crap from the baby boomers and all the crap from the millennials, and we do all the work and get none of the pay. That's what Generation X does, and we also get forgotten in all of the conversations. So I'm just gonna say this. Crap, forgot where I was going with that.
Amazon Prime, I'm assuming.
So yes, yeah, sorry. See, that's also what happens to Generation X. You forget where we were going. So you have these complaints about, you have the boomers are like, why can't this be on the television? And you got the Generation Z and the millennials. It's like, this is stupid. Why can't it? And Generation X is like, it's on TV. Shut up and watch it.
Well,
it's awesome.
It's not really on TV, though.
It is.
Everyone has
Amazon
Prime?
Yeah.
I think for the TV subscription, you got to pay a little extra.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to say
how many services do I need to pay for to watch my football, dang it?
I would think it would be pretty high on your list.
I actually do pay for Amazon Prime, but
you're a big iced tea drinker, I noticed, since I've met you. Maybe the cost of one of those a day or even a month, you could probably buy to get Amazon Prime. Quit your whining, all of you Amazoners, and enjoy the fact that, do you know what I think? I think, wow, here's this service that will deliver crap to my door in Wyoming, which I never thought would happen growing
up. I just want all of my football to be accessible in the same streaming
service.
And
I have this device in my pocket that I can watch football on anywhere. I'm just saying, you guys complain way too much. It's awesome.
Well, I am a Chicago sports
fan.
And
Al Michaels is going to be on it.
That's true. I do. Part of me misses him for Sunday Night Football because I love NBC. But, man, Mike Tirico is...
Well,
if Al Michaels is my favorite professional announcer in sports, Mike Tirico is probably number two.
Mike Tirico is the reason why Al Michaels had to leave. Because he'd been waiting his turn very patiently for years because they brought him over from ESPN.
He
started doing the Olympics and stuff. And it's this is our guy.
He was so good on Monday Night
Football. This is our guy. We got to give him the job.
This feels like when Joe Montana left, so Steve Young was the next quarterback of the 40. That's what this is, the announcer version. Mm. I love both those guys so much.
I love
much.
Mike Tirico.
Finally, we get to last week there was a third quarterback revenge game, by the way. Quarterbacks in their big revenge games that everyone touted week one as revenge week.
Yeah, they all went 0-for.
They went 0-for-3. Mr. Flacco did not do so hot against his former Baltimore Ravens.
So I've screenshotted several things from the preseason, and there were people that were talking about how good the Jets were going to be and how good the Jaguars were going to be and better watch out and better
not
cry.
Now, you better
blah, blah, blah.
Be careful here. You're the prime minister of the if you can't be optimistic in the
I know
preseason
that, but I also don't say – no, I'm saying optimistic. They're being arrogant. They're like, look out for the Jets. Break them up. Blah, blah, blah. Zach Wilson.
Well, you are aware that most people that are Jets fans are from New York City.
Yeah, they're stupid.
So, you know.
Anyway, I was ticked off a whole city. Oh, well. They're ticked off all the time anyway.
It's what they do.
But this is a game that I'm really irritated with both teams, and I don't like either team, Cleveland and New York, the Jets. And I don't know who to pick. Well, it's your turn, I guess. But I'm just saying.
Oh, this one was easy for me.
I purposely did not want to pick either of these teams, but I'm going to have to pick one of them.
Now, I know you're a big Browns hater because of the Mayfield thing. But their roster is
No. Not because of the Mayfield thing. Because of the Watson thing.
Okay. Well, it's sort of the same thing.
It is, but.
Yeah, and poor Mayfield. I mean, he should have won that game.
I know.
If it wasn't for Cade York being the greatest kicker of all time.
Yeah.
So, hey, shout out to rookie kicker Cade York. It's not his fault his ownership went out and did that whole Watson thing, and he came out and he had a great opening showing of his young rookie career. Hopefully good things ahead for him. And I predict that his team will be 2-0 by the end of this week. The Browns are going to stomp the Jets. The Jets are not good at football.
They also announced this week, Cleveland did, that Brownie the Elf...
Yes!
Will be their midfield logo.
And I know that Brownie the Elf looks so ridiculous, but can I... And I kind of talked to you about this a few days ago, not on the show, but in a world where for no reason we're getting more and more overly simplified logos, thank God for random things like Brownie the Elf rearing their head once again.
And thank goodness for a team called the Browns, which have orange helmets. None of which makes sense.
But yeah, I'm taking the Cleveland Browns.
So am I.
They're going to pummel the Jets at home. I'm thinking this is going to be Nick Chubb. This is going to be, I cover Cokeville football here in Wyoming. This is going to look like the Cokeville offense, I think, out of Cleveland. Brissett's going to throw 10 passes.
And they're going to run it 50 times and get 300 yards.
It's going to be Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt padding their stats for their upcoming contract negotiations.
Cokeville wins a lot of games that way.
Hey, my high school used to run that wing T. You had a fullback and two wing running backs, and one of them's in motion every play. And
yeah.
I'd get maybe three chances to catch a ball in the game, so I better darn well make the best of it type of...
Better catch it.
then your Commanders are in Detroit.
1-0.
And I told you this was one of the harder ones for me.
It is, actually.
I'm already doing better than last week. So now out of three games we've picked, I'm picking against the majority, according to Yahoo, twice. I picked the Chargers. I'm picking Washington. Washington is going to go into Detroit. They're going to beat the Lions because the Lions just love finding weird ways to lose at home. It's their favorite thing in the
world.
They
find weird ways to lose to Washington, too. In fact, I think it's the longest current active losing streak, one team to another, and that makes no sense. I think it's like 17 games. It's something ridiculous.
Hey, you guys had quite a win streak against the Bears going until we knocked you off. I think it was 2019 we beat you. Just so we're clear, before that game, the last time the Bears had beaten Washington, and they played every 1.75 years or something, it said, was the year when Brian Urlacher was a rookie and he caught the fake field goal for the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, that'd been a while. I'll be honest, though. I'm pretty nervous about this game. I thought Detroit looked... They had a lot of good things.
They had a good fourth quarter.
They had a lot of
came up
that,
short.
They had a lot of things that went well for them. I'm hopeful Washington can avoid the the turnover bug, and hopefully the defensive line can hold up. Washington lost their second-round pick this week, Fedarian Mathis out of Alabama. He was expected to provide depth at that defensive tackle spot, and he's out for the year. So that sucks. But so they're gonna have to find some depth there somehow. So moving on, it's the battle of Tampa Bay at New Orleans.
I'm 3 for 4. I'm making up for last week here. I am gonna take Dennis Allen's New Orleans Saints, who have won 4 consecutive games against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've swept them 2 years
right.
in a row.
You're right.
Whatever it is, Dennis Allen seems to hold the key to stopping the Tom Brady offense. We're not sure. He won't share it with anyone else because no one else seems to. But for some reason, the Saints, with Allen there calling the defense, and I assume he's still calling defense even though he's the head coach, his defense seems to have the Buccaneers' number. I'm going to take New Orleans.
Well, I think the reason Tampa Bay wins this game is their defense. They looked so good against Dallas.
You don't think
Dallas.
Famous Jameis is out for more vengeance against his old team?
That's fine. They'll pick him off 3 times. I think Tampa Bay's defense might be the best in the league. So I'm going Bucks.
All right. So we're split on that one as well. I'm on a roll here. Another one where I'm technically in the minority. I thought Baker Mayfield looked fantastic. He almost beat a much, much better Cleveland Browns team. This week he gets the New York Giants coming off a big win against Tennessee.
The New York Barclays.
Yes. I think Carolina is going to bounce back here. I think Carolina is going to... We like to say it all evens out. New York was not supposed to beat Tennessee, and they did. It was a miracle. Well, they should beat the Panthers, but at the end of the day, they're supposed to be 1-1, and they'll find a way to get back to 1-1. It all evens out. Carolina's taking it.
I can't pick the Giants, so that's mine's a pretty short explanation. I do think Dable had a great debut as head coach, though. I think he endeared himself to a lot of fans. But I'm gonna go with the Panthers.
Yeah, Daniel Jones looking pretty good.
Because I don't think Daniel Jones will look good 2 weeks in a row. So
that will be difficult for him. We will then go to, 5 years ago, this would have been the game to circle.
Yeah, it would have.
You would have said, oh my goodness. Now it kind of feels like, oh. Yeah, and somewhere in the middle of the week, the Patriots are playing the Steelers. It's at Heinz Field.
And Mac Jones has been talking about some back discomfort. He had some tests run, and that's come back kind of inconclusive.
You don't want to have back discomfort right before you're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Can I say this, though? Pittsburgh, why? Why did you change sponsors? Longer the ketchup bottle. Now it's like AcroSure, some stupid credit.
It's an out-of-state law firm.
It's stupid.
The big thing for me, I get that one's not as offensive only because, I mean, how long have they been Heinz Field? Like 20 years?
Probably.
Not like it's like, oh, it's 80 years of tradition.
But it also fit because Heinz Ward played there. To me, I always liked that whole thing.
Not the fact that Heinz Factory is in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I just like the whole, I just liked that there was like a double thing there.
Yeah, because... I mean, heck, there's people that are still whining that Three Rivers Stadium was ever torn down.
I know. I liked that name, too.
Right, the Bears better not put a sponsorship on their new Arlington Heights.
Here it comes. It's all about money.
Yeah. Imagine Lambeau Field, like, sells its naming rights to Walmart.
To Johnsonville Brats.
But anyhow, we haven't talked much about this actual game because there's not a lot to talk about. The Steelers are going to smack New England.
I'm picking the Steelers because I was expecting more out of New England. My fault. But if Mac Jones is not at 100%.
Mac Jones could be at 300%. I'm taking Pittsburgh.
And the Steelers. Mitch Trubisky looked efficient.
Hey!
He looked pretty good.
Thank you, my boy. Money. Now, granted, Pittsburgh should be 0-1. Yeah. If it wasn't for a long snapper injury.
But that's my point. Mike Tomlin, man, that guy... He just finds a way.
Now, say find a way. Mike Tomlin had nothing to do with Alec McPherson missing two field goals because
of bad snaps.
I don't
know. He might have a voodoo doll in his locker room, for all you know. I'm going Steelers as well.
It is amazing to me how often, whenever Joe Burrow and the Bengals, these last 2 years, Burrow has about 3 to 4 games a year where he just comes out and craps the bed. He has a classic Brett Favre game where he's like, all right, in this game I need to have 4 interceptions because my touchdown interception ratio is getting a little lopsided here. And yet, in all of those games, the Bengals always seem to miraculously come back in the fourth quarter. It's hilarious to me.
Well,
And Ja'Marr Chase won the game twice.
There was a lot of discussion. I'm going to credit Tony Dungy because he's the one I heard say it first, and I agree with him. A lot of the main starters for the season hardly played at all in the preseason. And he feels like that really affected a lot of guys, especially ones who are coming back off of an injury or an illness or something where they didn't have as many reps in practice. And Joe Burrow falls into that because he had his appendix out and missed several weeks. And he thinks a lot of guys look rusty because they just didn't have...
Until that fourth quarter.
Until he didn't have any reps. Well, by then he had 30 reps by then.
How about, by the way, I know it didn't count because his toe was 3 centimeters onto the white. But what about the seemingly original game-winning catch by Ja'Marr Chase that was called incomplete, where he caught it backhanded right by his ear hole on a bullet pass from Joe Burrow? And to anyone that's never tried to catch a football backhanded, it's way harder than anywhere else that you'd try to catch a ball one-handed.
Not, your body and the ball are not designed to work together that way.
Ja'Marr Chase is not a normal person.
Yeah, he's a freak.
I think I posted on Facebook recently. Right now, 2019 LSU is running the NFL. We got Burrow out here. Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson both absolutely torched their opponents in week 1. Edwards-Helaire had 2 touchdowns. You got the left tackle from that team is the Bengals' left tackle. He didn't give up any sacks. He was playing well. If Terrence Marshall just absolutely starts tearing it up for Carolina, then that's it. 2019 LSU.
Well, good thing they got rid of everybody and paid Ed Orgeron $17 million to go away. Good job.
We'll go on. The 0-0-1 Colts taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. You've got young Trevor Lawrence. He's out here on one of the league's youngest teams. He's trying to stake his claim in the NFL, and he's facing the old gunslinger, Matt Ryan. He's on the other end of his career. He's trying to wean out the last bits of his career and get himself back to the promised land that, let's be honest, his left tackle in the Super Bowl stole from him.
Yeah. I actually thought Jacksonville looked pretty good against Washington. I thought Lawrence looked pretty good. I thought
James Robinson stole 2 of my Travis Etienne fantasy touchdowns.
Yeah, he looked good.
Illinois State, by the way, James Robinson.
That being said, I don't see I don't see Indianapolis having 2 outings in a row like that. So
they're going 0-0-2.
Sorry, you're the one that's you're supposed to be picking. First
I'm here. Taking the Colts.
So am I.
I wish it allowed you to pick for a tie, just because I think it'd be funny. All of us got a loss for that last week, by the way, because the option isn't available to choose a tie.
And I hate ties.
I'm going to claim that I would have picked a tie.
This is America's sport, America's game. There should be no tie. They should play till someone either quits or wins. Wins or quits. Oh, we don't want to play anymore. We don't want to hurt next week's chance. Fine, you lose. No ties. I hate ties. Get rid of them, NFL.
All right, so we're going to move on. Miami at Baltimore. And you know what's just baffling to me? They've probably played a billion times. They're in the same conference. They play at minimum every 3. Like I said, it's 1.75 years they'll play each other. And all I ever think about when I see these two lined up next to each other is that one time that Miami was like 0-14 in 2007 and at risk of of losing out, and then they beat Baltimore in overtime. And the 72 Dolphins were in attendance, and they all started clapping and popping champagne because the Dolphins weren't going to be both 17-0 and 0-16 in the same franchise. That's like, for some reason, the only memory I have of these two. That and Joe Flacco almost dying when Kiki Alonso tried to kill him.
Yeah, that almost happened.
A Thursday night football that Baltimore did kill Miami in response.
Baltimore at home.
Baltimore will Lamar kill Jackson, Miami again.
While Lamar Jackson playing for a contract, I think the Ravens get her done.
Someone made a compilation, by the way. You should check it out on YouTube sometime. I believe you're also a Tua doubter, as I am.
Yeah, I don't really care. Well, he's fine.
Him, it was like Tyreek Hill. It was like five different plays where Hill got open and Tua one-hopped him in week one. Five times in one. That wasn't like here it is from camp and preseason. Everything. It was like, all right, here's one game. Look at this. He missed him five times. Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah, it wasn't like a season compilation or anything.
Yeah, remember when Tyreek Hill claimed this offseason that Tua had a better arm than Mahomes?
Yeah, he doesn't.
Yeah. No, that was a lie when he said it.
Yeah, and
which, it's funnier and funnier as each week passes.
Which we knew it was. Okay, up next, got the Rams, who were shown up in pretty much every way, even their fans at home.
They're taking on the fighting Cordarrelles.
Yes, the Falcons. I do like Cordarrelle Patterson.
He's on my fantasy team.
He always seems to produce.
I remember when he was a Bear, and everyone in Chicago. We voted him to the Pro Bowl last year, and he thanked Chicago for it. He said, "Thanks to all the random Bears fans that voted me to a Pro Bowl while I'm playing for Atlanta."
He's actually played for more teams than he should. It's like, why do people keep moving on from him? I like the guy. He's productive.
He is, if nothing else, in baseball, they call it a utility player. Football, it doesn't officially have a name yet, but he's whatever that is for football, and I love it.
Slash.
Yes.
They used to call...
He's the Cordell Stewart position.
They used to call Cordell Stewart Slash.
I want to know if he can throw a pass. Let's get Cordarrelle Patterson under center.
He probably can throw one as good as Cordell Stewart. So who you got?
Regardless, though, I'm taking the LA Rams.
Yeah, yeah, I think there's no way the Rams go 0-2. They're at home, Atlanta.
You'd argue that Cordarrelle Patterson is maybe the second best player on the entire Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Behind...
maybe Pitts?
No, behind Terrell, the corner.
Oh. Pitts is right there.
Yeah. So let's say A.J. Terrell is, in fact, an all-pro level cornerback, so fine. But to make my point, let's say Cordarrelle Patterson's their second best player. Where would you rank him as he's the something-ith best player on the Rams, like... The 24th?
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
You got Kupp, you got Stafford, you got Donald, you got Bobby Wagner, you got Jalen Ramsey.
He's better than Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey's trash. 158.3 passer rating allowed.
This is why we need a camera in here at some point, because I can't stare directly into this microphone.
He's
but
trash. He gave up a perfect passer rating to the Bills.
That's not necessarily fair, though.
Do you know who else gave up a perfect passer rating to the Bills? Me. A traffic cone. A folding chair.
Yeah, he got roasted by the Buffalo
He's
Bills.
He's a piece of toast.
I will say that. But that's not really indicative of his every week play.
I don't know.
Like, I don't think he's going to play the New York Giants.
So far this year, it's 100% of his outings. He's trash. Anyway, Rams...
I'm taking the Rams. Geno Smith and the undefeated first place Seattle Seahawks. They're alone. They're the only 1-0 team in the NFC West.
This is a hard pick.
They're taking on the 49ers.
Because the 49ers looked like crap.
I almost said candlestick. We talked about stadiums earlier. I almost said they're taking them on in candlestick. How did we manage to reset my brain to 1981 when I wasn't even alive?
Well, Candlestick was around a long time.
We got Three Rivers. We got Candlestick. It's all in my brain. I wasn't even alive for that. Come on now. Anyhow, I'm taking the 49ers. Trey Lance did not look great against the Chicago Bears.
No, he looked terrible.
Obviously, let's attempt to be good, reasonable, fair humans. As his first game, the weather was terrible, and he was playing a defense that actually was pretty good.
Well,
the Bears defense played well.
You know what? I'm going to pick an upset this week because the defense is why Seattle won, and I think Seattle's defense...
Yeah, Trey Lance is probably still going to suck, but I wanted to be fair.
I'm picking the Seahawks, which I never would have guessed.
I'm going to take the 49ers because I'm going to guess that the 49ers will try to put this ball into the hands of their running game, and George Kittle might be back. Their win-loss record with and without Kittle is so incredibly drastically different. The problem is Kittle is not there so very often, and if they can just healthy him up... He's the best tight end in football when he plays all the games. I'm just going to go there. Travis Kelce only does half of his job. I said it.
There's no one here to enforce what you say.
I'm going to pick the 49ers. I'm going to say George Kittle coming back should help him.
I'm going Seahawks so that a week from now I can go, what was I thinking going with Geno Smith and the Seahawks defense?
Hey, Geno Smith is not to be ratted on until he gives us a reason to this year.
He did have one of the best comebacks post-game. Did you hear that?
No.
He says, everybody wanted to write me off, but I didn't write back. That's a pretty dang good line. Now, he said it, you know, in his way, but that's what he said. It's pretty good.
Then we've got my Cincinnati Bengals.
They're not yours. You're a Bears fan.
They're only my Cincinnati Bengals, so long as Joe Burrow exists.
There's much my Bengals as yours because Logan Wilson's on the defense.
That's true.
And I've known Logan Wilson longer than you know
Joe Burrow.
You probably
have, but I don't know if you...
I've known Logan Wilson since he was a junior in high school.
You should have been there in 2019. In 1 year, I tried to make up for a lifetime's worth of knowing and loving Joe Burrow. You would not believe the amount of kissing up. It's a PG family show.
Here's the crazy thing, though.
I was doing for Joe Burrow.
There's some of these games that before week one, you have these teams that you're expecting to do pretty well. And let's, take away last week's results. Mm-hmm. The Bengals and the Cowboys, before the season started, you're thinking, these are two teams we expect to do well. Well, one of them's going to go 0-2.
It's going to be the Cowboys.
And it's going to be the Cowboys.
Cooper Rush is currently their starting quarterback for this football game. The Bengals, shockingly, suddenly have figured out right around last December, their incredibly average-looking defense suddenly learned how to play defense, and they carried it over a little bit into week one. It's going to really carry over into this game.
Why you wouldn't just blitz the living crap out of Cooper Rush?
Well, his one skill set, as we've seen in preseason games and previous games, he can't. His last name's Rush. This is funny. But he can run. I would say...
Not enough.
Maybe one guy you send at him? Really? I don't even know that that's the issue. I would just say, okay, we're going to sit in our coverage. Go on, backup quarterback with two games experience.
Go ahead and
try
pick us
to
apart.
Thread the needle between our defense. Go yeah. on.
Go ahead and pick us apart.
With your banged up O-line. I mean, their four-man rush might get home on its own.
That's true. Yeah, I think it's going to be a rough week for Dallas.
And then good luck, Dallas defense. Now, Micah Parsons might sack Joe Burrow 8 times in this game. His offensive line was not great last week. And Parsons is going to win Defensive Player of the Week, and they're going to give up 49 points.
Yeah, just hang on the ball, Joe.
Jamar Chase, T. Higgins is supposed to, he's already cleared concussion protocol on Wednesday. That's incredible.
Which is nice.
You're going to Tyler Boyd. Hurst was getting open against a much, much better Steeler defense than this Cowboy defense. They have too many weapons. And then let's say you miraculously, you're like, all right, well, we'll just keep two guys in the box. We're covering your receivers. Uh-oh, there goes Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
This Bengals offense is loaded. And they figured that out to themselves in the fourth quarter, that Steelers game. I think it carries over. Bengals are going to, at minimum, they're scoring 30 points.
I still think Dallas has any morale. I think after this week, they have, what are they playing for? This is already a team with questionable motivation, historically. I think they're going to pack it in.
So we're both taking Cincy.
Yep.
How about this? Lovie Smith looking for his first win or loss as the Texans head coach. Man, the Broncos sure looked uninspired in week one.
His second tie.
Let's go. If Lovie Smith can go 0-0 and 17,
That would be something.
I will call that a win.
Denver should have won that game.
Denver.
They played.
They got to win this one, right?
They played well enough to win that game. They just didn't execute. They fumbled it twice on the one. They have a guy that's a really questionable strategy down the stretch. They're at home this week. I think they win. Yeah. I think Houston.
If nothing else, just on the sheer talent gap between them and Houston.
Yeah, I think Denver wins that.
So I'm going to take Denver, even though...
Sorry, I'm getting ahead of the picking schedule.
This is sort of my New Orleans-Atlanta of this week, where I'm like, I'm going to take Denver, but I'm actually kind of worried about it.
I'm not.
Then my man who's trying to carry me in fantasy football, Davante Adams, hosts the Arizona Cardinals, whose pass defense got lit up last week. Oh, I need like a 50-point game out of Adams.
I don't know what's going to happen here. All I know is I started Carr last week because I thought, oh, it's a conference, you know, it's a divisional game. I think I've come to the realization already after one game, I'm not going to play Derek Carr in divisional games because they're going to be too brutal. So I've already switched my guy. I'm already playing Kirk Cousins this next week for my fantasy guy. But
after what just happened to Arizona?
Yeah, Arizona just gave up a ton of points. I don't know, but I am going with Vegas. And I can still change my mind between now and Sunday. So,
and I guess I do always kind of enjoy when I have a quarterback playing Monday Night Football in fantasy football, because it makes you feel like hope is never dead. Like you're down by like 70. And you're like, yeah, but it's a quarterback. If he throws 7 touchdowns.
You're telling me there's a chance.
which I'm doing this week. I got Josh Allen in all 3 of my leagues.
It's true.
Yeah, why did they have 2 Monday night games in week 2 this year instead of week 1?
Again, Generation X, why are you whining?
That one's not a whine. That one's confusion.
Just embrace the goodness that is 2 games.
But why wasn't it last week?
Things didn't work out last week, Aaron.
Oh, okay.
It's okay.
I just want to know.
There was a game.
I'm taking the Raiders, by the way.
I am too.
In a loss, they looked much better than Arizona did in their loss.
Yeah. I'm going to guess this next game we're probably going to pick differently.
We are likely not.
Oh.
Here's why. I got excited that the Bears went 1-0. I was even happier when then I went 2-0 for the week, is what I call it. I said, whenever the Bears win and the Packers win, I go 1-1. Well, if the Bears win and the Packers lose, that's the perfect week, Dal.
Yeah, and the Packers look bad.
My only issue, I'm not... If the Bears win this week, then fine. Week 1 counted. I'll give it to myself. I'll pick the Bears going forward for games I think they can actually win. As of right now, I'm still in the thought process of, yeah, but it was week 1. And it's in Lambeau.
I can't believe you're
I'm picking the Packers to win.
I can't believe you picked the Packers.
You're a
hypocrite.
How is that hypocritical? I always think the Bears suck.
You have been bad-mouthing the Packers 24-7 since I met you last fall.
There's a difference, Dal, between hating a team and thinking that they're not better than your team.
I'm just saying that if you were really a Bears fan, you'd take one. You'd take one for the
Dal's
Bears.
Dal's just trying to convince me to give him another game.
Yeah, I am. Hey, when Wyoming plays anyone else, do you know who I pick? Wyoming. It doesn't matter if they're playing the friggin' Alabama Crimson Tide.
No, I'm going to pick the Green Bay Packers just in case they bounce back. And I have never rooted against myself so hard as I will in this football game.
So disappointing. You're just all hot air. Nothing but talk.
But if and when the Chicago Bears win this game...
You've got a cheese head under your bed, don't you?
Oh, my God. which is one of the stupidest things in sports, by the way.
Well,
I'll point out, it was actually the Bears, by the way, that invented the... On Brett Favre retirement jersey night... On Thanksgiving, that a bunch of Bears fans showed up to Lambeau Field with cheese graters on their head.
That was fun, actually.
That was us that invented that. Now suddenly a bunch of people started doing it, like Vikings fans will show up to Lambeau in them. I saw last year, who was it? It was like L.A. Rams fans showed up with cheese graters. I'm like, what the? No, that's our thing.
I saw Rams fans this last Thursday. They're wearing, was it a watermelon? They had watermelon on.
That's old school.
Yeah, that is old school.
I like that one.
But you're changing the subject. You are a turncoat and a liar and a traitor.
What the? I tried to flick a speck off my screen. And I accidentally picked the Titans.
Which would still mean you're picking Green Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope you're proud of yourself.
I'll just point out I picked Green Bay against us both times last year, too, because I acknowledged that we sucked.
I hope you're proud of yourself.
Are you picking the Bears?
No.
That's what I thought.
I'm not a Bears fan.
But you're acknowledging that the logical thing to do here.
Let me tell you something. I'm picking Washington every game. So go ahead and call me dumb if you want, but that's loyalty, my friend.
No, loyalty is just that I show up and root for them. I don't have to acknowledge that I think that they're good, because I don't.
Well, I will sit there and badmouth my team whilst picking them. So,
but anyhow, I think that this actually is a decent chance for the Bears to win. I bet the media spins this into more of a one-sided affair than even I'm giving it credit for.
Honestly, I think it's going to boil down to if the receivers for Green Bay can catch a ball.
Their offensive line looked awful against Minnesota as well. They have a lot to... And second of all... Is their secondary planning on showing up for this game?
I was going to say, are they going to cover?
We don't exactly have Justin Jefferson anywhere on our roster.
Or Kirk Cousins, for that matter.
But, I mean, some of the... other than Alexander... And again, yes, I know the popular meme this week is, oh, Alexander's garbage. He let Jefferson... Justin Jefferson does that to everybody, okay?
He looked really
good. Yahir still played a good football game as a cornerback. He was in position. He was keeping phase. Justin Jefferson just beat him a couple times because Justin Jefferson is really good at football.
Yeah, he might be the best receiver in the league.
It happens.
By the way, you were talking about defensive rookie of the year. How about offensive rookie of the year, Jahan Dotson? 2 touchdowns for my guy.
On draft night, I told you you were going to like Dotson. I told you before the draft about Jahan Dotson. And you told me, I think you said something to the effect of, who? When they picked him.
Yeah, I had to look it up.
Scored 2 touchdowns. He orchestrated the comeback. Yeah. I think he scored both of your last 2 touchdowns, didn't he?
No, Terry had the third one.
Okay, I thought he was 3 and 4.
He had the bomb. I think Dotson had 2 and 4.
Dotson.
Yeah, he looked great.
I told you he's Tyreek Hill-esque.
He doesn't look like a rookie.
No. You are going to really like Jahan Dotson. I almost picked him up in fantasy this week.
I did. In fact, I picked him. Well, I have him in one of my leagues. But moving on. Buffalo hosting Tennessee.
Tennessee is not bad. I know they lost to the Giants.
They're not bad.
They are not bad. Let's not jump on. Again, week one. Weird things always happen in week one. Tennessee is not bad. And all the beat writers in Tennessee are going to be jumping to more conclusions after this week, though, because they're going to have lost to the Giants and they're going to have been destroyed by the Buffalo Bills. It's going to be at least a 3-possession game. Buffalo's going to win.
I'm picking the Bills. It's the first home game for them. They've had 10 days to prepare. There's probably Buffalo fans right now tailgating on Wednesday. Bills.
Yeah. And then the second Monday night game. By the way, what? Do we happen to know what channel Buffalo? I know Minnesota Philly is the one officially being carried by ESPN. So do we know who's showing Tennessee Buffalo?
Let me look real quick.
That better not be another streaming service.
Tennessee Buffalo looks like it's on ESPN.
How are they?
/ ESPN2.
Okay.
Vikings Eagles is ABC / ESPN.
Okay. But I will have the option to switch back and forth, is
it looks
what you're
like,
saying.
Yes, it looks
okay.
Like you will.
Perfect. That or maybe pull my laptop up. I've done that before. When the USFL was going, I would pull my laptop up, and I'd watch the White Sox on either my TV or laptop, and I'd watch my New Orleans Breakers on the other. I think we're going to have to bring back that setup for Monday night, and it's going to be a joyous time.
Or just use the last button.
No, I want them at the same time.
Oh, all right.
That's what you need to understand. Eagles-Vikings.
This is a pretty intriguing matchup, honestly. Both teams looked pretty good last week.
Minnesota, advantage at quarterback and at wide receiver one. Eagles advantage at most other positions.
I would say,
boy, those two that... Oh, sorry, and Minnesota, obviously, at running back.
Yeah, running back. I was going to say running back.
I'm taking the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm using Vegas logic here. I'm like, well, I bet in my brain this is within a three-point difference.
Well, Vegas has Philly at minus two, so you're correct.
And I went, I think the Eagles are at home, so I guess I'll give them 3 points and call them the winner.
I am going to do what I shouldn't do, and I'm going to give Kirk Cousins credit in a night game, in a nationally televised game. I'm going Vikings here. I think the Vikings go and win this game against Philadelphia.
Granted, Kirk was 0-9 or something to start his career on Monday Night Football. He did break that against the Seahawks.
I know.
And I believe he's 2-0 since.
I'm just saying, I think they're going to have a pretty dang good year. And I guess I'm still not sold on Philadelphia because I'm a Washington fan, and so I feel like they've had smoke blown up their skirt the whole offseason. So, anyway, there's my pick. I'm going Minnesota on that one.
And, hey, how about this? We've talked about it on the show, so it's technically a part of our deal here. We can talk about the Fantasy Football League that Dal is currently sitting pretty. I have our history settings here. Are you ready for this, Dal? Are you ready for this jaw-dropping bit of history? You are now number one of 23 players all time in winning percentage.
Ooh.
You are 1-0.
Nice.
You're 1,000. I'm way behind at 686.
What's funny is the little write-up thing that it does, it makes it into this big dramatic, like, you came from behind. I was down by 0.6 points, and I was almost guaranteed of scoring 15 points going into the last game, and which they did. So, I mean, it was just kind of funny.
I here's a bit of fun history. I'll give my dad a shout-out. He is now, with his win over Josh Johnson last week by 7, he is the second person in our league's history to have hit 100 career wins. He is now 185 all-time.
Hmm.
So, I also, in our group chat, I went to post that to the other fantasy beings. I don't know if you are or not, but you seem a little old for it, Dal, but the group chat is on Snapchat.
I don't have a Snapchat.
Yeah, I figured.
Or to quote Bill Belichick, I don't have snap face.
Yes. So one of my buddies, his name is Yoakum. You know him in the league as, what is he this year? Brass Monkey. He dropped the ball against reigning champion Hillbilly Likes Pie.
Which is a great name.
Which is my cousin Jack.
And that's who I'm playing this week.
Yeah, you're playing the defending champion.
Ooh. Right now, I am favored to win by 0.4 points.
Anyhow, that gave him projected 112 losses all time. And I said, so he jumps in and he said, congratulations, Papa Feely. Now reflect on how many years of being in this league it took you to hit 100 wins. And I said, well, I know Yoakum's not talking is the only person in league history with 100 or more losses all time.
Ooh.
And just so I said, and if anyone else gets close, I'll let everyone know. So my brother, Braden, who by the way has 2 championships somehow, is the second most losses. He's at 94. Said, well, if he goes 0-14 in his remaining 14 regular season games this year, he will have 108 losses. He will still need 4 more to match Yoakum's 112.
Oof. It'll take a while.
So, yeah, a little bit of league history fun for everybody.
Well, I think it's I'm going to have some guys step up for me to beat Hillbilly Likes Pie.
And I know
this week because I'm gambling on a couple of guys because I had some guys get dinged up. I'm changing quarterbacks.
Oh, and
anyway,
I'm playing Yoakum this week, and I'm supposed to destroy him.
Well, Yoakum, looking at last week, he only scored 62 points.
I'm hoping for something similar.
Yikes.
And by the way, I don't know if you'd noticed, because you wouldn't have their team names or anything, but we had him on the show once. We brought Kyler on, and we talked about his rivalry with Josh Johnson.
That's right.
We only had to wait 1 week. They're head-to-head here in week two. They're both 0-1. They both need a win, and not a single word in the fantasy message board yet.
Hmm.
I am so disappointed. I wanted to read filthy, filthy messages live on air right here. Looks like my dad's playing Harrison. You've got Hillbilly Likes Pie.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kelly, who goes by The Grizz, is playing my brother. And he missed our draft. He was the only one of the 10 of us that had to auto draft because his work called him in. And he texts me right afterwards and he says, I cannot believe I got called in on draft day of all days. You wait all year for this, and then you get called into work. And he goes, and I had to auto-draft, and he goes, and this is the team it gave me? This is the worst auto-draft team I've ever seen. He sends me that whole thing in a text. He goes, I might win like 2 games all year. He led the league in scoring in week 1.
Yeah, he had the most points.
Mostly because he took Justin Jefferson, number 3 overall.
Yahoo
which
takes
helped.
Care of their own.
so that's fun. Neat little thing. We need to figure out after this year too if you have a rival in this league. It's going to be hard for you since you don't know anyone but me.
Yeah, probably just you.
Because we've got our all time rivalry standings
here.
I just
beat the Vic show, if that helps. I'm 1-0.
He and Hillbilly Likes Pie are one of the key rivalries of this league. Only because at one point their record was legitimately Harrison is the Vic show. He was something like 9-0. Against my cousin Jack at one point, and like 3-0 in the playoffs. And it was amazing. It was like the most hilarious thing. And every time he would top 200 points. They don't even know each other. And my cousin was like, I hate whoever the Vic show is. I can't stand him because every time we play head to head, he drops 200 on me. And then Kyler and Josh Johnson, which I'm hoping picks up at some point this week.
Yeah, no kidding. Come on, guys. Jeez. Step it up. We talked you up and everything.
Oh, George Kittle not practicing. Uh-oh.
Well.
Do I need to change that pick now?
Hey, don't be giving out advice. We're out of time anyway.
Oh, we're out of time. So that was our week 1 recap. Week 2 picks for the NFL season. You can join us every week right here on YouTube, Spotify, or svinews.com/podcasts. I've been Aaron along with Dal. Can't wait to be 2-0 in all 3 of my fantasy leagues next year. And hopefully the Bears 2-0 after they beat Green Bay. And I get that pick wrong. And Justin Fields is voted league MVP. And we all have a joyous time. See you all next week.